Well, let's begin with prayer, and we'll move right into talking about what we're up to as a district and God's call in our life and mission. Jesus, we give thanks today for what you're doing in the world. And Lord, it's evident of the kingdom of God everywhere. Lord, where there's hurting, we do pray that the kingdom come down on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, as we think and discuss the things of mission, may we see our part where you are calling us forward to participate with you in heaven coming down. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. Thank you for coming to the iHeart Mission Workshop. And what we'll be discussing is what we're up to, what we have done, what we're going to do, Lord willing. And let's see how we go with all that. I want to introduce a few people that are with me today that are important. Linda and Kay Browning, if they'll raise their hand, stand. There we are right there. These are seasoned Nazarene missionaries.
I like that word.
You like that one? Seasoned. And they are retired from the Middle East. Did I get that right? And they'll be doing a workshop in the third workshop slot today, the final one of the day, which is loving your Muslim neighbor. And you'll want to be a part of that if you want to check in. And you know, our culture is becoming very diverse here. And also, we're thinking more globally on how we interact in ministry and loving one another. It's wonderful. The other person we have here is Kirby Schuler. Kirby, she is here with us. She is an extreme Nazarene missionary. And she's doing the next workshop slot after lunchtime. And she's going to be sharing about if you have a call on your life to mission and how to discover that. And also, what is Extreme Nazarene and how they work with the Church of the Nazarene. And I'm going to take a little promo moment right here and let you know that Extreme Nazarene is a Nazarene movement. It's not accountable financially to the Church of the Nazarene. They are a grassroots movement that has arisen. And they rose up to do missional work globally, and then before they knew it, became a very powerful movement of doing evangelism globally, planting churches. Monies that you give to Extreme Nazarene are considered your 10% giving. They are recognized by the Church of the Nazarene in missions giving, but it's not financially accountable in like when we give to World Evangelism Fund. So just so that you know that whenever you're giving. But the churches that they plant are Nazarene churches by the church manual. That's absolutely the deal. So they're great people, and we're finding a lot of young people moving into this avenue of Extreme Nazarene. So Kirby's got a lot of wonderful things to share. Also with us today, volunteer missionaries do we have with us? Any volunteer missionaries? Ted Bruce, Ted and Lori.
A volunteer, not a missionary.
Well, okay. Folks that volunteer, so what would you, are you NIVS? Or what do you just considered, are you own deal? Are you a grassroots movement? I think you are.
Yeah, I'm starting my own movement. Yeah.
Yes, you are. You're pretty good at that. Sorry about that. Okay, we have Ted and Lori Bruce. Lori previously was district missionary president before I was. So they're fine people. And where do you do ministry?
We're heading back to Paraguay.
Paraguay.
Fifth year.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your work in mission. And then Tyronza, is she in here? At Cape, we have, what's Tyronza's husband's name?
Scott.
Tyronza and Scott Pringle, and they spend several months every year working at the hospital in Kujip, Papua New Guinea. And so they live right here on our district. So if you ever are looking for missionaries, they're home several months of the year. Any other volunteer missionary?
Dan and Janet Reinhardt.
Yes.
Dan had to have open heart surgery, and he just came home yesterday. So they're very sorry they couldn't be here. But
I can follow a bit of that. Yeah, on Facebook.
When they came back home from Germany.
Right. They're in Asia Pacific? Is that, or did you?
They were in Germany.
They were in Germany.
Yeah,
okay.
European.
All right. European Nazarene Bible College. No, that's not existing anymore.
No, but they do. Jenny does catches up on book work and stuff, and he does IT.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. So there's some more missionaries that we can be looking to on the district that we have a reach with who are available. Okay. Thank you for being with us today. And then I want to introduce to you our council. Our district council, if you would please stand. And I want to introduce you. And I am so sorry that I'd completely missed that, being the first person up this morning. We have back here, we have Gary Rhodes. Gary works with Work and Witness. Thank you, Gary. And Wilma over here, she helps keep our contact with Links Missionaries, which are in your notebook. This is Shawnee Clark. Shawnee works with our deputation now. We've been training this year. She's doing excellent. Mike. Is Mike in here? Our vice president. And then secretary, we are voting on today. And it has been great. Oh, man, Webster Groves.
Becky.
Excuse me?
Becky.
Becky, yes. Becky,
Lumley.
Yes. Becky Lumley has been our secretary. She's been doing a fantastic job because I am not detailed, as you can just tell. I missed her name. And so she's been working with us. We have John Gerling, who is one of our elected NMI council members. And Wilma also was an elected one. And anyone else in here on the council? Yes. Sherry and Ken Hodge. And they also work with us with the Work and Witness. They've been doing a fantastic thing. Now, any others? I don't need to be missing anyone. Okay. So thank you for your service on the council. You can tell they together have set up the missions market, which is down in the lobby area. You'll want to go through there and check out a few things. We're going to talk about some of what we're up to as well. For the sake of terminology, I just want to, I don't know, how many new missionary presidents do we have this year? Welcome. You're new, kinda.
I'm a renew.
She's a renew, Sherry Hall, yes. And former missionary right here.
Yeah, you too.
I'm new local president.
New local president. Have you been one before?
No.
Okay.
I've been district missionary president.
Well, talk to you after class. And then your name?
Sandra Roper out of Waynesville, Missouri.
Okay, out of Waynesville, Sandra. Okay, welcome. Welcome. Any other ones that were new this year? Okay. Well, I do want you to know, take it easy on yourself. Well, those of you that are seasoned, you know. But if you're brand new or have only done this for a couple years, it does, I have found, take about 2 years at least to get your feet on the ground with understanding all of the terminology and then being able to then translate what's going on in your local church and how to make that work to the best ability that you have there. Now, Nazarene Missions International is NMI. This is who we are. NMI, and what we raise funds through offering, we pray, we educate, and we disciple. And those are the four things that we mainly do in NMI. You also hear NCM, Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, and so that's a lot of your reaching out to when people are in need, when there's dire straits going on and we need to respond. So when there's floods and earthquakes and things like that. Also, when we identify a serious human need that needs to be addressed, such as human trafficking, and then there's compassionate ministry centers. And we do have one on our district, which we'll get to in a little bit, but it's at Trinity, and it's Empower North County. So on the district, we have a Nazarene Compassionate Ministry Center. And then we have Nazarene Global Mission, and this is your sending. These send your missionaries out, the training and sending part. Okay, so what do we do? Right now we're supporting 700 missionaries from 50 world areas, not just the U.S. 50 who serve in 162 world areas. Now, I know they just gave the general board report. These numbers may be up a little bit more than what I remember. We have someone from Global Ministry Center. Are they up a bit more than this?
59 countries represented now.
59 world areas now. Wow. And is this still at 700 or did it pop? About the same? Okay. Wow. In the 162, did we go in more areas yet? No? We're going to. Even when we don't know about it? Yeah. Okay. So this is a beautiful thing. I do want to point out that on the deputation tour that we had this last month with Monica and Ruben Fernandez from Costa Rica, that was, I don't know of any other time, well, we have brought in missionaries from other countries who are not from USA. When I say that, they're not called out from USA. So we've had that before. But in this case, we had that where we had a missionary who's been called from, I believe they're from Argentina, who are serving in Costa Rica, who come and do their deputation tour in the United States. So we were dealing with a third country contact. So there were challenges there, and we readily moved in on that, and we accepted it and said, this is what it is, and we want this to happen because it's going to be more prevalent. So be aware of that. When you see a missionary that we put out there for deputation whose first language is not English, I want you to strive to be okay with that and to move in and go slower with it and do what needs to happen, because there's things ticking in there that we need to know and how to do ministry, because even our country and context are shifting, and we've got to get a hold of that. And also, if we're going to get a hold of the global church and understand that and educate on the local level, we have to enter into that. So yeah, there's an accent. Yeah, we will need to have a translator. These are things we're okay with. I do want to say what we really enjoyed about the deputation. Shawnee set up, we had a pastor's training day, which is the first time we've done this, where we had continuing education, CEUs, continuing education credit earned, and it was a beautiful thing. And there was translation needed. He didn't need it in worship, but he needed it if he was teaching. But good stuff. We already talked about the four goals of NMI. Pray, so make sure you get on your prayer mobilization line. Disciple, which means get that material out there and educating. Discipling is also considered when you take a work and witness trip, when in your you get into your community and learn about the needs that are there and address those needs and take others along the ride with you. That's discipling and the whole process. Giving and educating. If you're doing those things, you're doing well as a missionary president. If you need some kind of a goal marker, go on to the monaz.org, click on NMI, and when you get in there, you will find a local president's form. Some of you filled those out this year and sent them in. That's a good guide and role. It's a good guide to go by with what I need to be doing this year. So if you want to look back at that from time to time and make sure you're meeting all of those goals, that's super helpful. Okay, so now we're going to go back and look at what's been happening in this past year and give an accountability report for what we've done. We went to Global NMI Convention. Your delegates from this district were myself, Mike Askew, Lori Bruce, Ken and Sherry Hodge, and Elizabeth Griggs. And the things that happened there, NMI Constitution update was passed. Elected a general NMI president, actually re-elected Philip Wetherill from Scotland. I love his accent. And then this district, by your giving in the adult offering last year, $9,806 was given into the Buddy Plan, which means we gave money to help some of our foreign delegates to the U.S. come so that they could participate in the government of the church. Missouri delegates, this is something we also did. $25 a day was given extra into the stipend for each one of us so that we could go and take an international delegate to a meal or give it in a gift to them. So we did. We gave it away. We had fun. We got to meet all kinds of people. It was fun. I highly recommend that to other districts when they go to Global Convention. It forces you to make some amazing friends you'll have forever. Oops, we just missed one. All right. There we go. I also want to give you an update. Last year, we had a work and witness trip that we couldn't physically be on, and it was called the Flat Louis trip for St. Louis. And what it was is that when we looked into the work and witness ideas for the year, we were told that the Congolese would love to have some kind of a training center, but for us to go would be really difficult, but it was at the top of the list. So what we did was, with our adult offering that you gave last year, we decided the best use of those funds is not to send a bunch of Americans over, which was, as we talked with them, they said it would cause a lot of hardship for them to host us because of their, you know, the transportation and just the expense. So we said, well, let's think about this. So we met up with the delegation when we had the Global Convention, so that was handy. We ended up sending with them Flat Louis, this character right here. So he went, he was us, he was Missouri District. So Flat Louis went to Africa, and to start with, when we sent the money, they were super thrilled, and they kept hitting one roadblock after the other. And they said, this is normal because of government. It's kind of like what they do. So it wasn't until March they were actually able to start on this building. This building is 30 foot by 40 foot. It's not huge, but this is phase one. And so what we've done is we've also employed people to do the work as well. So we're not over there getting in the way. But this is a church / district center. This is the beginning. So it'll be done the end of June. And they're thrilled to death because of this. The missionary said, this is the only church building in all of Western Congo, DRC. The only, and the Nazarenes have it, and it's going to be finished in June. Now, we hear in the news about all of the warfare and the destruction. It's kind of pointless to keep building buildings, and so the church is on the move. And so this is in a city center where it's going to be more likely protected. So, way to go, Missouri District. Now, they did say that phase two is their next goal after this, but it's going to cost $150,000, and it's going to be a two-story. So that's their goal. That's where they're headed. So we got something started that was pretty exciting. This is the deputation with the Fernandez. This was the pastor's training day that we did. And this is the discipleship curriculum that they use widely throughout the MAC region. And that Ruben and Monica shared all of that with us and how they're doing that in training the region. So if you ever need any of these pieces, they're there in English and in Spanish if you ever would like to use them. So you would look up yes, it's called Sendas, S-E-N-D-A-S, but I can talk to you more about that later. But they're doing a great thing with discipling and training. Now, at this point, we're going to look forward ahead to what we're going to be up to for this coming year in mission. And I've asked a representative from each of these three churches to come and share with us what's going on, give us about 5 minutes apiece. And these are opportunities that your church can click into and actively be a part, take some time this summer, and do community outreach. So if I can first have St. Louis Southwest come and share with us about Boaz Bounty. Hey, girl. Here you go.
Okay. All right, so Dennis is passing these out.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Okay, so we are located in the city of St. Louis, and we're right across the street from the beautiful Tower Grove Park, which right in the last couple of years has just been a lot of growth, just a lot of growth there. So we call this our community outreach building, and that's the project in need, because it's in a high traffic street, it needs repair, a general facelift. We're working toward the vision of an event-based community coffee house, and our community is just like begging for it because of our location. But in the meantime, we're working with the Boaz Bounty Ministry. God just began flooding us with great organic and fresh produce and whole grain breads. And the community where we are, this is what people are so into. Those organic markets right across the street from us, and yoga classes and all of that. So in the meantime, you know, one of our rooms that needs a gas fireplace or something was just like a refrigerator room during the winter, like it was frozen. And so we got all this fresh produce in, and what a great place to put it. So we began advertising on internet, like Next Door Neighbor, and just different internet apps that go to your neighborhood. And people are coming. And as they're coming, it's not like it's just a pass out food. We set up nicely in baskets and display it and make it a great shopping experience. We give out flowers, whatever Trader Joe's is giving, there's a lot of Trader Joe food. And just make it a great shopping experience for the people. And in the meantime, it's a great way to build, like the coffee house, we're building relations. We're talking, what are you doing with this great eggplant? You know, what are you doing with the artichokes today? And people actually bring us some of the recipes.
And they came. One thing you did is came. How they came. Many times you say, how do you get these people to come? Well, we didn't know either how we were going to get them to come. But what took place was, in the city, we have a website. Explain it. Next Door Neighbor, which each neighborhood in the city has a website. Well, it may be that it works for your neighborhood, but it covers every neighborhood in the city of St. Louis. They all have access to it. But when you start talking food, people are in need of food, and it's free, and if it was outside first, I thought, oh, how are we going to get to come inside? Well, they come inside when you're talking free food.
On nice days, yeah, he puts tables right outside the church because it's a very high traffic area, and people just stop, and we just build. But our biggest thing is building relationships, so it's not just handing out food. It's like we're taking time, our people are taking time to just talk and build relationships. And so that's this Boaz. And then people are now saying, hey, how can we help? We love your ministry. So today, another one of the neighbors who doesn't attend our church yet, but they're going to pick up a food. They're going to go do a pickup and bring it to the church and do that while we're here. So people in the neighborhood and somebody else, you know, they built the whole email list. So they are stepping on board. They're saying, how can we help? We love the ministry. However, the building is still needing repair. And so the working witness, you know, what we need from you, or just people, is this building is grave need of paint, and the front porch, you can't hardly see it, but you know, part of the panels off on that front porch roof. So we need the roof repaired, we need the building painted, and some on the bottom of a more detailed list there of that.
Do you have dates that work best for your team?
So,
for your church.
What works best for you.
Yeah,
we're okay.
You let us know what you need to work with, and we can usually work with
okay,
you.
And another question would be if they needed lodging, yes. Is there a place there to stay, or should we look for something to stay nearby?
We have,
because this is a house, it's set up with bathrooms and fixed up bedrooms.
So we can stay inside while we're there. Okay.
Yep, that works. And one more on the back is we're investigating this. There's a huge festival called Festival of Nations, and we have 40 countries represented there. And there's dances and crafts and everything. Anyway, they still have nonprofit tables available, and so we're investigating this. We have to do creative access missions. But the only way we could do it and have a table there, there's like over 125,000 people come one weekend. All kinds of countries everywhere. So anyway, if we have district people, we would need 20 people. To be able to man this table 2 days. And we actually, at our church last year, we actually opened up for parking because parking's a great need. We sell parking spots for fundraisers. But at our church, we passed out Jesus DVDs also. We probably couldn't do that at this table, but we'd be very careful. But anyway, if we have 20 people interested,
what week is that? Or when is that?
25th and 26th of August.
So yes. If anyone wants to help them with that international festival, they're available there. Okay. Beautiful. Okay, and then let's have St. Louis Trinity come up and share with us. Yes, this is Empower North County, Melissa Fitzgerald, and is going to share with us about how we can help out with summer lunch program.
Okay, so if you're wondering where North County is, you're here. This is North County. So North County indicates North St. Louis County. I won't go into all of the history of the area, but there's a lot that's happened in our community. Primarily, we work with in Hazelwood, Florissant, which is where you are now, and Ferguson. My kids are in the Ferguson-Florissant School District. Our pastor, who's actually our board president as well, His kids are in Hazelwood, so we have connections there. Wanted to also say that we're actually a separate 501c3. So I just say this because it's something to think about in your churches. Now, we're a separate 501c3, but we are in every way connected to Trinity. We make no bones about it. We don't necessarily, our programs aren't intended necessarily for over evangelism. That's not really our goal. Our goal is relationships. We run a soccer academy. Actually, our teams play just down the street here. We started it in this fall. Mark right here is one of our coaches. We started it this fall, and within the very first season, we had over 100 players. Our fields represent every socioeconomic situation you can imagine. So that's really our goal, is to bring our community together, that our programs look like our community, and that everyone in our community has something to offer. We don't go into our community as, you know, the people who have the answers. We're part of our community. Our kids are in the schools, our kids play on the teams. So this summer we have a couple of exciting things happening. Hazelwood School District, which you are in this area, is Hazelwood School District area. And actually, just down the street, there is an elementary school called Coldwater Elementary, and they're hosting summer school this year. There's another school just a little bit further north that's also hosting summer school. A lot of those kids rely on free and reduced lunch in the school year. When school ends, that ends. So we stepped in last year and said, how can we help alleviate this? And we partner with the St. Louis Area Food Bank. And we have volunteers that go in starting June 11th, Monday through Friday, every day, to those two schools. And we just serve lunches. St. Louis Area Food Bank provides them, and we just provide the volunteers that provide the lunches. So it just requires an hour or two of your time. If you're local, then it's perfect. I know it's during the day, so it can be a challenge for some of you to get here. But we have a huge population of teachers in the district, in Ferg Floor District, just in the community, that come and help, which I think is indicative of the heart of teachers, that they're off and they still come back and serve their students. So we have that opportunity. We also are doing some summer soccer camps. That might be more intended for people who might have some experience with soccer, or even, you know, some of the little guys, if you have some experience corralling children. That's really more what it is on the soccer field when they're little. But so those dates are on our website. We also, just in the future, we do an affordable Christmas store. We've done the last 3 years an affordable Christmas store. Today, we're actually one of the beneficiaries of the Ferguson Twilight Run. So if you're looking for something to do when B18 is over, head to Ferguson. It's a really fun community event, and we'll be sweating on the course running it. So I think that's it. We have a lot that goes on through the year, a lot of changes that are happening this fall that we're excited about. But any way that you may want to get involved, you can look at our website, empowernoco.org. We're on Facebook, and you can always go to the Trinity website too. They share a lot of our stuff on there as well. So
good stuff. Hey, we got things going on. Yes.
Should I just ask it afterwards?
I don't know. Is it something that you think?
I can ask it.
You think? Okay, because if you think it's something that would benefit everyone, okay. Okay, and then St. Louis Harvester is going to be sharing with us about a renovation. They're going to partner with the district for the North County Church. Thanks, Chris.
All right, well, we are excited. Pastor Lindley and I were church planters down in Texas before we moved to Harvester. And one of the exciting things when we planted a brand new church there in Texas, we had a facility, not like North County, but kind of like North County's facility. And one of the exciting things was to be able to come into that community and help create new life. We started working on this facility and started doing a lot of different things to it, and people took notice. People stopped by the church and started talking about what's happening here, what's going on, what are you doing? And we were answering questions of families that were right around that area.
Here.
And we're excited to be able to partner with the district and working through opportunities right now to birth a new work out of North County, which was originally North County Fellowship, I think is what
something
it was.
Like that.
And there's a lot of work that needs to be done to create a new work there. And so we are in the initial stages of looking at all of the things that need to happen to be able to meet the needs in that community. And so Lily's passed out a flyer there that outlines just some general things that we are going to be doing to help get this facility up and running and ready for a new work. But there's also opportunities that will be later on as we put together a community development plan to impact the community around the church there. And so block parties, outreach events, different kinds of things that we're going to be doing to really create a community footprint as we would lead up to a new launch there for a new church. And so many opportunities there. There's weekend projects of maybe bathrooms, and then there's week-long projects of 5,000 square foot of flooring and renovations on the outside and some different things. That particular facility has had quite a bit of water come in the second story consistently, and so that's one of the big projects for us, is we need to install some correct drainage and different pieces. And so if there's people that are specialized in that, that would be a huge help to put in new French drains and some different things, so that when we do put money and effort and work into the facility, we can make sure that it's going to stay that way. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big things that we're looking at right now. But be in prayer for this new work and just the opportunity to be able to partner together with other churches to come together and see what God wants for it.
Yeah, sounds great, Chris. Thank you. Do you know if there'll be any places like to spend the night or anything, if someone wanted to stay a little late longer?
We can always host groups at our church at Harvester.
At Harvester,
drive
okay.
In. That's certainly
sure
always
Trinity.
An option.
I'm sure
and
Trinity could,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so if we put our thinking cap on, you've got these three here. Summer lunch is in the middle. Like, when you look at the timing of your day,
yeah.
So if you wanted to do a trip to St. Louis and do a missions trip, you want to put some together, you can hang out some at Boaz Bounty during the day and work there, take a lunch break, go help Trinity. Same thing with Harvester. If you wanted to help at North County, take a break for lunch, go over and help Trinity with lunch, go back over and work. I mean, make it whatever you would like to try. Lori?
I'm right at the airport. I can put 6 or 8 people in my house.
Yeah, now this lady, Lori Delk, the Delks have their own little bread and breakfast deal going on. They're super. So, yes, they do. Their kids have grown up and left them with the house, and they love people. They love people.
Where is the North County Church?
Where is the North County Church?
It's off of Bingham Road, Bell Fountain.
367.
270, and you know where Christian Hospital is?
Yeah.
In that area.
Down from
and it's
east.
Yes, and it you can see it right on
yeah.
270. I mean, how many exits away from the Mississippi River is it? It's not too many.
Yeah, not far. I don't know.
I know Mike Palmer said that it's the most eastern church that we have on our district. So
yeah.
When you look at the city metro, yeah. So anyway, put your thinking cap on. If there's something that you can put together with your church, there's just some wonderful ideas right there. Now, also, I want to turn this around and ask any. Now, this is mostly St. Louis. Do any of you have things going on in your church where you think, you know, I could use some help if it was offered? Or, you know, maybe I could put together something. I know in Wright City, through our food pantry, which is it at 501? It's a 501c3 thing. And so, it's an independent thing that the community is a part of in Wright City. Someone came from, and a manager came from one of the subsidized housings and also said they needed lunch help with the month of July, because we do get quite a bit of subsidy in for lunch programs in the summer, but July there's nothing. And then our church doesn't meet in July on our midweek ministry outreach that feeds people also. So they asked for help, and so now we got the community coming together to make sandwiches. We got business partners and things like that. So if anybody, you know, I don't know if you feel like going to Wright City, but that's just lunchtime. I don't have anything beautiful like this plan.
If you want to get involved in a kids' day camp at Harvester, we have
okay.
close to 140, 150 children coming for a mini day camp for 3 days. And
what's the date?
June.
The first?
6th, 7th, and 8th.
6th, 7th, and 8th of June?
And okay. If you want to see kind of, and this is even something that you may want to come and volunteer and see how you might be able to take it to your church.
Okay.
This is our second year doing it.
Uh-huh.
And we call it Camp Kids Rock. And,
okay.
It's kind of a different spin on VBS. We do it from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We do it completely free and offer them free lunch. And so right now we have over 140 signed up. So if you want to see what it looks like, come be a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have you.
Okay.
And that also is working with kids in our Bare Necessities program that we send food home in backpacks every weekend of some individuals that are at different levels of
okay.
poverty. So several of those kids are within that camp.
Okay. Did you have your hand up,
yeah.
Sherry?
I don't have the information. I apologize. But our teams are partnering with another church that's coming to St. Louis to do a missions trip locally in the St. Louis city, and it's youth oriented.
Okay.
So if anyone has a youth group that they want to work with other youth,
okay.
I can get that information for you.
And this is St. Louis Gateway.
Mm-hmm. And so I apologize that I didn't come with that information,
yeah.
but it's happening this summer.
Okay. All right.
Brad.
Yeah, Brad knows. That. Exactly. Yeah.
Brad was the guy playing the piano today.
Mm-hmm.
That's who that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might want to mention that any of these churches need the trailer, they can always come and get it and use all the equipment in it.
Here's a resource right here. Ken put together, as working witness coordinator, a mobile trailer, and it looks like it's got everything. So if you need that on location, let this guy know, and we can figure out a way to get it to you. It's sitting at Wright City right now. Just off right there at our church, which is on the highway. So, yeah, that's got everything. Even, does it have a generator?
It does have a generator.
It's got the generator now, so, and power tools. So think about that. If you're doing a project even at your church and you don't have all the tools you need and you need us to get it to you, just say, because it's available. That's what it was put together for. Okay, any questions? Okay. All right. This is Working Witness, what's coming up this year. We have an Encuentro trip to Costa Rica in July, 7-14. That's already closed on taking any more people in. But if you are going on that trip or someone from your church is going on this trip, I do need you to make sure that they come and meet together at lunchtime today, over the lunchtime. Oh my goodness, it's the place downstairs in the foyer where you come out and it's a glassed-in room. What is the name of that?
Guest Point.
Thank you. In Guest Point. That's where we're going to be meeting for lunch today. Also, I need to make you aware, I just talked Thursday to the church down there. They're putting together the plan of what they want to do with us while we're there. It's pretty exciting. What I find really exciting is that the pastor of the church is female, who also serves as a DS for her district. I'm like, well, we're going to have a great time. So I thought of this little thing here. It's called Send a Suitcase With Us. There's 17 members going on this trip. And we can each take 2 suitcases on Southwest Airlines. They had to be 50 pounds and within 62 inches. But anyway, it's all on this piece of paper. And these are all the supplies we need. We need a lot of basic school and craft supplies, and I've got all that listed. Yard work supplies, they want us to work in cleaning up a park that's nearby. Sports equipment, they have a vision to start some kind of a sports ministry, and as they talked to me on the phone, they want all American sports. And I was like, well, okay, but do you have like poles if we bring nets? Because I can't stick that in my suitcase. And they're like, no. So we're thinking about it. And so.
They've got portable goals that will like break down.
Yeah?
There are some.
Will they fit in a 62 inch suitcase?
I will make it fit. I'll get
that. I've seen her.
I'll be talking with you. Yes. Okay. Can I get a couple people to do this little deal here? Just go down the aisle here and pass those things out. So it's mostly they're wanting to do sports stuff, and they want to do in the morning work with kids work with teens in the afternoon. I mean, they want to, I feel very honored. They really want us to get in there and get involved with them and make some headway for the kingdom right there. And ministry not just to children, youth, but also to the adults who come with the kids. So we're going to be very busy, and it's going to be exciting. So if you would like to do the send a suitcase, and I realized after I got the thing here just a minute ago, I did not put a date on when I want those suitcases. So right now, my brain is not at a place where I can say what that date will be. So it will be at least a week before that trip goes down. So let's say family camp. That sounds good. Family camp would be a good time to bring a suitcase and drop it off if you're around family camp, or Wright City, somewhere you can drop it off up there. We'll catch it. Put together this trip in January. It's to the Nazarene border. It's to the USA-Mexico border. It's the Nazarene Border Initiative in El Paso, Texas. We'll be sleeping in El Paso at night. We'll be in Juarez in the day. These are the approximate dates right now. Finding out Southwest lets you put in plane reservations about 6 months out, right, Ted? So it's not close enough yet. So this is a guesstimate here, $900. We're going to have CEUs available for that. So on my sabbatical in January, February this year, I went down that way and hung out there and had a marvelous time. My children went and want to go back. You need a passport because you'll be going to Mexico.
No passport cards. Passport.
You need the passport. No second rate. No cheaper one. You need the whole thing, the full deal. So this will be it. So this is the approximate dates here. And that's the cost we're aiming for. And there is a working witness application downstairs on the tables. Also, it's online on the monaz.org. Go to NMI, and you'll see it in the downloadable forms there. And so that is showing up to be a good trip. So we're going to go over, they haven't decided which church and all that. They're putting that together. Then in the evening, there will be training by district leaders. For those who would like to sit and earn CEUs, and it will be with the Latin American district. It's kind of interesting. It's overlapped. This area is overlapped by about two, maybe three districts. So learn something new every day. So that's it. There's mission opportunities everywhere. There we go. Here's another opportunity that's available to you. This is Come to Mex, which is hosted by Southern Nazarene University. If you want more information on this, they gather together somewhere in Texas, it will be in the information when you start downloading this. But it's $400 a person. It's a great trip to take all ages. It's wonderful, and it's at a great time too. Look, December 7th, 27th to January 2nd, best time to be in the desert, and that's whenever I went to El Paso too. And I've decided I don't really want to go in the summer, so that's a wonderful opportunity. Take advantage of that. You can take your whole church, and your whole family. Yes, sir.
That was an amazing family mission trip.
Oh yeah.
So we've gone a couple of times. That one in particular for this year, because it's an anniversary trip.
Uh-huh.
Actually flying. That one you have to fly down to Guadalajara.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna look different than the normal Commission to Mexico trip, which meets down in Brownsville, and then they charter all the
That's time. What I was thinking they were gonna do, so they're yeah, not. So
that one is a little different, so make sure
okay.
you check out the details on it. But it is a great one for families. It's an amazing uh-huh. experience. They take 5 to 6 year olds down there. No problem.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of families. They're like, oh, yeah, we go every yeah. year.
Would that $400 just be for the trip, and you'll have to buy your own airfare?
You got to get the airfare there.
That one you will. Uh-huh. Normally, it's, I think, a little over $5.
Uh-huh.
It's everything, normally. But this one, you have to buy your own airfare.
Yeah.
On that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I've had good feedback on anyone that's gone on those. I want to share with you, David and Jody Cooper are here from Nazarene headquarters. Ooh, come on over here. Yes, we got us some Kansas City people in here. Or now, what's it, Lenexa? Lenexa. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to him for a few minutes and explain Next Ministry, which is a working witness for the golden
people
years.
People beyond
maybe.
Their work.
So I'll let you do whatever you need to do here with this. Here's this. Take that.
Swap the recording.
Swap the recording. Okay.
Stick in your pocket.
Okay.
Stick that on your pocket.
Pocket.
And clipped on there.
Great.
Or should I do it this way? There we go.
Thank you. Well, this is exciting to hear all of these mission opportunities. That is something that Jody and I have actually been focused on for about 25 years, is getting people involved in doing missions. And any way that happens, whether that's on a work and witness trip, or as volunteers, or serving as long-term missionaries. So one of the latest things we did as we were in South Africa for about 6 years, just came back last year, and as I was talking with Dr. Vern Ward, our global mission director, in saying, what are some things we could focus on in this coming time? I'm helping coordinate work and witness and partnerships. Those things go hand in hand in many ways. But we also recognize the need to focus on creating more opportunities for those in their retirement years who are still in good health and are saying, I still have plenty to give back to the Lord. How many of you know somebody who might fit that description? Okay? I'm sure in all of our churches we have people who still would like for something significant to happen in life even after careers. And I try not to use the R word, retirement, too much, because I know many of us do not like that even as we get closer to it. And so we began to recognize there are many ways in which people can serve. And we brought a group together in December to discuss that. All of them had volunteered many times in various areas of the world. Dan and Janet Reinhart are two of those from your own district that we brought in to be our think tank, and they helped us to put together some things that you'll find here. One of the things they said is, we don't know how to describe to people what to do. This does that for you. So all you have to do is put this in the hands of someone who you believe the Lord might be speaking to about maybe going and giving a few months every year into another location. We realize that many retired people don't want to go and spend years on the mission field, but would like to go for a few months and then be back home with the family for the rest of the year. There are many, many opportunities like that. I wrote to our fields around the world and just asked that question, and I got about 40 different opportunities from that one email. So it is a need, and it's something that we're wanting to help promote in helping people to realize you don't have to be retired, but it is something we recognize that there are many opportunities for those who might have a little more time to give and would be looking for a way to serve in missions. So I'm also just going to let this video speak for the rest of it. When we brought that group together in December, we asked them to share just a little bit from their experiences. And so we've got just a short video clip that will help to do that. So thank you very much. We have a table downstairs. If you would like more of these, I have a couple hundred with me and would be happy for you to take them to give to other people. It tells everything someone needs to know on how to volunteer during your retirement years.
Was before retirement, most certainly.
Just past retirement age, so I was 56.
I was 66 when we first started.
I had been involved in working witness first as a team member in 92, and then in 97 became the South Carolina District Working Witness Coordinator.
Our initial involvement in missions was the opportunity to be involved in working witness. We, before I retired, went on a few working witness trips and just fell in love. Fell in love with the opportunity of serving around the world. And since that time, we've had a great privilege to be a part of, either as a team member, a team leader, coordinator, in one position or another, to be on a number of working witness trips around the world.
I believe my most rewarding was being a working witness coordinator for the South Mexico field, and being privileged to receive teams from the United States and to see them, their lives transformed as they were able to experience the joys of working witness.
Tell them I had a second career that they would love if they just get involved, and that would be with volunteer missions. As we look for a new purpose in life, life's changing, and it's certainly very rewarding, and I feel like they're very blessed. You're in a very blessed situation when you do volunteer in mission service.
The greatest challenge would be to limit my excitement, because the opportunities we have experienced have been beyond our wildest dreams. We learned very early on not to make any plans of our own, because God does such a marvelous job of His own. I label our life since retirement in this way: God's retirement plan is far better than anything I could have ever dreamed of.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Okay, so pass those on to whoever you feel led needs to hear about that. Okay, and then Netflix. While you're working on that, the another region that is asking for working witness teams or church teams is the Asia Pacific region. They've been in, I think it's been in decrease of how many teams they've had come because of the distance over the Pacific versus the Atlantic. And that is your whole area that is that whole Pacific, Asia Pacific, all the way down to Australia, New Zealand, all the way through there. So if you're ever interested in wanting to know what areas are requesting and asking for teams, that would be one. But it's one of those that it's pretty far away, but man, once I get there, I'd want to stay a month. But beautiful place. And while he's working on that, this is also Nazarene Border Initiative. I didn't get that passed out earlier. If my friends would just take some of that and pass those out. That's some stuff there for that as well. Okay. Let's see. That. Jesus Film, Run to the Cross, 5K Run Walk. We're still doing that again this year. Whoops. That thing goes. Let's see here. Let me get that back one. Yeah. We've done this now. This will be our third one that we've done at Pinecrest Family Camp. It's on the Saturday morning of camp at 6:30 a.m., $25 entry. It's really pretty fun. And Kim Stevenson from the Macon Church has put it together for several years. This year, she doesn't mind putting it together, but she'd like to run in it. So if any of us that are available would like to switch out and help so that she can run in it, this is how we raise our funds to give to Jesus Film from the Missouri District, and it's we raise about $2,500, something like that. So it's a good, wonderful benefit, and we have a load of fun at camp. Our deputation tour, this is kind of fresh off the press. I just confirmed with them about a week and a half ago. These are our Lynx missionaries, Danilo and Emily Aguilar. They are over in... they're off the coast of Portugal. Azores? Yeah. Azores. That's where they're at. And this is new baby Gracie. See her? She's so sweet. And she's really growing up. Oh my goodness, Shovi. So this is our Lynx, one of our Lynx families. So also Carol Rittenhouse is our other one that's coming in. She is the secretary. She's in Costa Rica at the seminary as well. She works as an administrative assistant to the Fernandez. So she told me that she plans on coming to Missouri District 2 this next year. So be looking for Carol to come back through. So if she is your assignment, you'll want her. And also think about Aguilar's are coming. And so you'll need to get with Shawnee right there if you want to make sure that you get a date with any of these. Okay, so I've got about 10 minutes or so. I know what I covered mostly were things that we do in mission. These are the highest impact things that we do in mission. So I know that some of you may have other questions in regards to the inner working in your local church, and that's fine. So I'll open up for question and answer right now, so I can answer more directly questions that are on your mind as you serve as missionary president or missional leader in your church.
Is there a project for family camp?
A community service project, yes. We have a community service project on Wednesday morning of family camp. And that's... did I get the wrong one?
No, I'm going to have them...
I see. Okay. I see.
That was kind of hard to drag your recording.
Yeah. I love IT people. They think of all these things while my brain is somewhere else. That's what we want. So, so we have, that is like 9 to noon during family camp. Jim Jinkerson is already on that. He's the pastor at Fredericktown, and he's going to start that process of thinking through his community and the needs. That's not just for teens. It had started out that way, but it's for everybody. But actually, the more adults, the better, because I think teens it's good discipling. I'll put it that way. It's a great discipling, yes. They need to have someone show them how to do things. Okay, any other questions?
Well, my question was with the 501C.
Yes.
With the 501C, is that necessary to, or is it mandated to work with local schools and local authorities, or is it a benefit, or why did they do that?
We did that because it opens us up to a lot more partnerships in the community.
Yeah.
So a good example, I mentioned the Twilight Run, and we just happen to have a group of runners, and so it's at our church, so it's kind of facilitated us partnering with 5Ks, 10Ks, that sort of thing. But we have, there's an organization that does a race to the shrine, so there's a Catholic shrine in Florissant.
Right.
And it's not to benefit the shrine specifically, but there's a large group of Catholics that initiate it. Well, this past year, we were invited to be a recipient of funding, and we received, of all of the Catholic organizations, we were the only non-Catholic organization that got money from the run, and we got the largest pot of money from the run. And it's facilitated an opportunity for us to partner with a lot of community organizations that may not be as keen to partner with us when we're coming at it as the church per se. The other thing is it's opened us up to more funding opportunities, because when you go to apply for grants or things like that, sometimes they, having your nonprofit status as a church is a little different, and so they don't necessarily want to give you funding in that way. So like I said, we make no bones about our offices in Trinity. We use their fields, we use their building. Like, there's no, our board president is the pastor. We make no bones about it, but it just really just opens us up to more opportunity. We've worked in the schools before we ever became a separate 501c3. So no, that it doesn't require that. It's just advantageous to us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would say the same thing in Wright City is going on. So like, you know, the food pantry itself is housed there. Joe's the head guy on the board. But because it's the 501 thing, then all the people on the board, they're not from our church. They're from other people in the community, and so they're able to speak into it. They own it. The community owns it. Business partners feel so much more of a camaraderie there, because it's not just one denomination, it's several. And I mean, it really has blown open the doors. It feels like food falls from heaven. So that's what, and I guess if you go to the Community Connection Workshop today, you would see that more, or hear more about that and how that works in communities. Anybody else? These are good. Okay. You don't have to ask me questions in here. You can catch me throughout the day. You can send me an email or text me anytime. If you feel like I'm just not doing this missionary president thing very well, it's probably just a moment in time, and you're probably doing terrific, okay? You're doing fine. Just make sure that you're giving to mission, making sure you're educating your people, making sure you're praying for missions, missionary, and for the kingdom to come, and disciple people. Take them along the journey, children and youth and adults, next, all of them. If you're doing those things, you're doing fine, okay? You're doing well. So let me pray with you. Jesus, I pray your blessings over this wonderful group. You have entrusted us, Lord, with the gospel to take into all nations. And I pray that you would bless with creativity, and that that there would be new and powerful things happen through the work of the kingdom through our churches. And if it needs to come through the missions department, so be it. May it be done. And Lord, do a beautiful thing in our communities, through our churches, and we give it all to you, Lord, and we look forward to hearing the stories next year of what you have done among us. And we pray this in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. All right. God be with you. Go do the work.